May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Yes, you've heard the birth of Jesus story, but that's no excuse to not be in church sometime between Tuesday and Wednesday for Christmas itself. Joseph can sometimes get a little bit lost in the biblical Christmas story. He's usually there in the nativity scene, but a lot of attention over the centuries in art and music, rightly so, is on the role of Mary. After all, she is the one who gives birth to God made flesh. One example of this is the calendar in my office. The picture for December is a manuscript illumination of the nativity. In it is baby Jesus looking particularly holy and glowing. In it is Mary looking particularly pious and humble. And there's a donkey and an ox, but there's no sign of Joseph. I'd never wish to dismiss Mary from the part in God's plan. I think it's especially important in our current context, where there is actually an imperative to work for gender equality. Under these circumstances, it's important to remember all the women in the Bible who are just as loved and valued by God as the men. As we seek to create a culture where harmful stereotypes are challenged and changed so that people are treated and valued equally, regardless of gender, I think it's actually vital to celebrate and never dismiss Mary's place and role in God's loving act of salvation. And I also think it is good to celebrate Joseph's part in God's plan and promote a positive role model where you find one. Joseph hasn't always got a good reputation. There's an old Christmas carol, I don't know if you're familiar with it, called the Cherry Tree Carol. It's dated in English about 1500, but most likely has origins older than that. The carol tells a non-biblical story, so you're not going to find it in the red hymn books. And the story it tells is Joseph's reaction to Mary's pregnancy, because he knows he's not the father. There are many versions of this carol out there, but here is part of one version. Joseph and Mary walked through an orchard good. There were cherries and berries, so red as any blood. Oh, then bespoke Mary, so meek and so mild, pluck me one cherry, Joseph, for I am with child. Oh, then bespoke Joseph, with words so unkind, let him pluck thee a cherry that brought thee with child. Then bowed down the highest tree unto Our Lady's hand. Then she said, see, Joseph, I have cherries at command. Well, that showed Joseph, didn't it? The father of the child can command nature itself. And I think it's fair to remember that Joseph was a regular sort of a person, so I think it might be understandable that when he finds out the woman he was going to marry is pregnant, he might be disturbed by that news. But returning to Matthew's gospel, there isn't actually any harsh judgment of Joseph there. That came with later tradition. There, in this gospel, there is an acknowledgement of Joseph's fear. When Joseph finds out about the pregnancy, his planned course of action was not only within the law and tradition of his time, it was relatively compassionate compared to the options that society would have allowed him. Joseph plans to dismiss Mary quietly rather than expose her publicly. The public disgrace option would have been considered acceptable by Joseph's contemporaries, but Joseph has resolved to break off his engagement and leave Mary without the public display. This is the moment that Joseph has his first encounter with a divine messenger, an angel of the Lord. Joseph will be visited again by an angel later, after the visit of the Magi, but I'll refer to that in a moment. In this dream, the angel tells Joseph that what is happening is part of an ancient promise, part of a divine plan. We get the translation of Isaiah that was known to the gospel writers' community, The more observant of you may have already noticed the difference in wording between the Isaiah reading we had read and how it is quoted in our Gospel reading for today. I'm not going to get into the finer points of biblical translation and theological debates about young woman versus virgin and what that actually means or meant. For today, I wish to focus on what the angel tells Joseph. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And Joseph does what the angel says. In Luke's Gospel, we have Mary's yes. Here in Matthew's Gospel, we have Joseph's yes. Human beings say yes to being part of God's plan, and God becomes human to be with us. Joseph's yes means that Mary has a safe and socially accepted home. It means that Jesus was raised in a nurturing environment, protected by his human parents and their extended family and community. In a way, the two times that the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph are to protect the child who would be Jesus. The first, so that the child could be born into the safety of a family, and the second, so that the child would not be killed by Herod's soldiers after the Magi come and proclaim that a new king has been born. But we will wait until Epiphany to tell that story in full. So what do we take away today from this bare-boned, shepherdless account of the birth of Jesus without the singing of choirs of angels? I take away the lesson that God's plan includes the participation of people. While God would have the power to act however God wishes, God chooses to include people, to want people to be willing to play their part in ensuring a continuing relationship between God and humanity. From Matthew's account of the incarnation of God made flesh in Jesus Christ, we are reminded that all of this was for us, for saving us from the ways of sin. God is willing to rely on humanity, so we should be prepared to rely on God for what truly matters, for the strength and ability to be kind and compassionate, to be honest and generous, so that we can exist in a safer and more loving world. Being prepared to stand with someone where they are in life is part of showing our respect for them. God chose the ultimate walk a mile in someone else's shoes. God became like us out of respect and love. The angel didn't say to Joseph, "You must marry Mary." The angel told Joseph a part of God's plan, and Joseph chose to participate and continued to be a part of that plan as a husband and a father. Ordinary, everyday roles that play their part in bringing God's love into the world. We can each be a part of God's plan in our everyday roles, whatever they may be. And we can continue to say yes to being part of God's love in the world. As we go through the final few days to Christmas, I invite you to take a little time to reflect on the amazing story of God becoming one of us, and to think about how that can shape your life and shape the way that you choose to be in this world. The Lord be with you.